Welcome to Paint Ed. Hey, I'm Chris Schenk, the education guy at the Painting Contractors Association, providing painting contractors with the training and connections they need to grow their business. To find out more, visit pdca.org. On this episode of Paint Ed, Brian Young of Home Painters Toronto talks with us about how he found his way out of a deep hole of unsustainable business practices. His epiphany came in the form of someone's fist against his head. Not cool. But you know, Brian utters not a word of complaint about being physically assaulted, which we do not condone. Instead, he chooses to see in that moment a wake-up call that propelled him to bold action, which transformed his business. This guy has learned a bit about how CRMs, or customer relationship management software, help you track leads, communicate with customers and prospects, and steer your marketing. But there's a lot out there, so you'll need to choose wisely. Learn some tips from Brian, the Fist Stopper Young. Hear Brian's complete presentation at the PDCA Expo in Savannah, Georgia, March 6th through 8th. He'll be presenting CRM Your Business, asking the right questions to choose a customer relationship management system that can grow your business. Register at pdca.org. Hey, Brian, welcome to Paint Ed.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We are excited to have you speak at the expo coming up, Savannah, Georgia, March 6th through 8th. And you're going to be speaking about CRMs. You're going to be talking about the questions that people are asking or need to ask when they start thinking about what CRM is going to be best for them. But you're also going to give a little bit of a background, your business story that led you along the path to choose the right CRM for you and to find the right solutions. And you're in Canada, right? Let's start there.
Yeah, the market has come down quite a bit from the years previously. The market in general, the real estate market's coming down, so it's hurting our business a little bit. But we're finding ways to overcome that through niches and ways to market to our clients to overcome that those hiccups along the way.
You know what I found out recently? We have a lot of listeners in Canada, listeners of Paint Ed. I was looking at some of the cities and people up there in that area, I think in Toronto area, if I remember right, is playing a lot. So I don't know if that's like your crew up there, if you got some other PDCA members or even non-members up there. I don't know. Do you know of anybody listening to Paint Ed up there?
Well, you know what? The Canadian market for painting is really solid. Toronto in particular and Calgary, I think, as well is pretty solid. Vancouver is getting there as well. But we're a little behind the States in terms of education, CRMs, even products we use. Everything that's going on in the States is probably a year to two, maybe 3 years ahead of us. So we're trying to catch up to you guys. Yeah, it's good. It's good, though. I mean, I'm happy.
Well, we got some neat leadership developing over there that people in the States are going to want to hear about. Like I said, your business story is pretty inspiring and exciting. And it's also, it prompts questions for people listening saying, okay, well, how did you do that exactly? How does that translate to lessons for where I'm at in my business and the life cycle of all the things that I'm planning? So we're going to try to figure that out here, but give me a little bit of your background and your story. How did you get to where you are and what led to the solutions that you're going to be talking to us about?
Well, I started first as a student painter back in 1987, university, and basically, if you remember back then, no cell phones. Everything was lawn signs, flyers and cold calling. That was basically how we marketed our business. So started from there, and it pretty much for the next 10 to 15 years was that's the way it worked until around 2000. And then around 2000 is when the internet came into play. And unfortunately, I didn't want to adapt because I was a pretty good cold caller. I could pretty much knock on doors and close two or three jobs a night just from knocking on doors, but I didn't want to adapt to the new market conditions. And because of that, basically I had 10 years of pretty much struggling sales where it was a combination of negative sales and just forcing the ball up the hill. And it was just really, really, really tough. And so it all came to a halt basically in 2011. And I knocked on a door and I was like every day, by the way, I could feel the market dying, but I just like saying no to me, but I just didn't want to come to grips with that. I was like, kind of stuck in my own ways.
So. Like a lot of people. I mean, like, it's not just well, you. It's like we all get not just comfortable, but I think it's that loss aversion. Like, we're trying to not take the risks that are going to cost us a lot. We think, hey, you know what? If I just maintain here, it's probably not going to cost me as much as if I took that risk and took the bigger hit. You know, I get it. It's not just you.
Yeah, well, it's fear of the unknown, really. Yeah. I mean, I knew I could see my competitors going online, getting websites, everything. I mean, I don't know about CRMs, but they were definitely going online and getting their business that way.
Okay.
But I didn't want to face it. I just, like, I don't know anything about websites. And basically, as far as I knew, I basically had a Facebook account. That was as far as I was in terms of technology. So I was really resistant against keeping up with the market. And so because of that, my market was stagnant pretty much for the full, you know, 10 years that it struggled. And so anyway, it came to halt 2011. I was knocking on the door and I ticked off a client because I interrupted his dinner. He shoved me and punched me in the face.
What?
And yeah.
Did he? He punched you in the face.
He gave me a shot in the head and I was like,
oh my gosh.
I was really, it didn't hurt that much because I'm a hockey player and I can take it.
But it hurts your heart. It hurts my heart. Listen to it. Like, what? Why would somebody do that?
Yeah, it was a blow to my ego more than anything, and it just made me realize, Brian, I gotta smarten up and get my stuff together, and keep up and figure out how to market better. Because I was basically fighting the market, and whenever you fight the market, you never win.
Okay, well, first of all, that was wrong. So, second of all, I don't want to just pass this off like that. That's not just a normal part of a business story. That's a terrible thing. But it was also, I'm sure, quite a wake-up call. When you talk about getting slapped upside the head with, like, reality, I'm sure. And I don't know. That's such a weird event. But and it's such an extreme way of waking up to what's happening in your life. So I don't want to treat that as, like, a normal thing at all. But surely, you know, there was some kind of a wake up process after that. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So basically, long story short, it like I said, I kind of knew in the back of my mind I needed to change, but I didn't want to change because I was fearful of, you know, the internet, websites, and all that stuff, and having to spend who knows countless amounts of money on marketing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just kind of bit the bullet. And I said, okay, I'm going to spend some money and I'm going to see what I could do. So I basically went online, Googled a bunch of stuff, found myself a business coach, and he kind of got me online. And it was a real tough battle at first because he was saying, Brian, you have to do this. I said, do I really have to? And so eventually, basically, I would submit and say, okay, fine, I'll do it. And so we had to start in baby steps because I was really resistant against change and spending money and spending it on a website, AdWords. What else do we do? We went on online sites to like Angie's List. Homestars was at the time the biggest thing in Canada. So that we went on review sites. I got an SEO specialist, obviously the website, and we pimped it out. And within 6 months, we were getting leads, and I wasn't cold calling on doors anymore. And I was like, holy crap, what the hell have I been missing?
Yeah.
But anyway, long story short, at the time, we were about $300,000 in sales in 2011. And to 2018, we were at just over $3 million.
So talk to me about what happened in that period. So a lot of those changes, I know, and I especially want to focus on CRM because, you know, our education committee is looking at all the presentations that were submitted for Expo, and they do this for all of our events, really. And they saw your presentation, and they were really impressed. And a lot of things that they saw about the presentation that was, I think, impactful for them, and they think will be able to help business owners with the theme of the Expo being from top line to bottom line. Basically, how do you make sure that you're not just being busy, but you're becoming profitable? And that's something in your story that they saw was that, you know, you talk about that 10 years when you were just grinding it out. You were just trying to every day hitting it really hard and say, man, if I just keep working hard at this, you know, I may not be the most innovative, but, you know, it's going to pay off. But you kind of saw that you were hitting a brick wall and that wasn't doing any good. There wasn't any progress being made until something kind of stopped you dead in your tracks. And so that's perfect for the theme. So they saw the CRM question being answered, or at least the way you went about it. It could help people develop a formula for going about it themselves, even if they're going about it a different way or going about with a different solution. Okay, so tell me a little bit about how you went with the CRM route. What were your problems you were trying to answer? How did your solution specifically speak to that?
Well, the first thing was, like I said, I feared the heck out of this technology, and I didn't even know what a CRM was at the time. But I trusted my coach, and he said, Brian, I've seen other companies, not necessarily painting companies, being able to do this. You can do it too. So it gave me the confidence that, yes, there was a possibility. It gave me examples that I could relate to and said, okay, well, that's amazing, but it's probably not going to happen to me. But I had the trust, and I was kind of desperate at the time. I didn't have much choice. So long story short, basically introduced me to Infusionsoft, and that was just one of the CRMs. And at the time I didn't even realize, but he doesn't even know that much about Infusionsoft. But I kind of got lucky, and I met one of the Infusionsoft reps. His name's Kelsey Bratcher. And I met him at a men's group seminar, I was struggling with Infusionsoft for the first 3 months. And he said, Brian, let me help you out. And he offered to do it for free because he's working for the company. He couldn't charge me for it. I said, okay, well, it's fine. I can use all the help I can get. So long story short, I basically trusted him, and I used the experts to let me, to coach me along. And the key thing that they did was they made it real for me. They didn't, like, it's really technical, gigantic thing in Infusionsoft.
But yeah, it is.
He would just ask a question like, okay, Brian, what do you do? I said, well, first thing I do is I knock on a door. He says, okay. Then what happens? I said, well, I get their name and number, and if I can convince them to give me a quote, and then I'll try to close them on the spot. And then says, well, okay, what happens if you don't close them on the spot? Well, I'll put them on this list, and I would write it down on a piece of paper, and I would put it yellow if I didn't close them, and then I would put green if I did close them. So he basically put that in. He translated that into a funnel for me, and to make it simple for me to understand, I say, okay, so next time you enter lead, enter it this way through Infusionsoft, and then if they do this, then click this, and if they do that, click this. So he made it really simple for me. Mm. I was like, oh yeah, I can do that. And I didn't believe him at the time, but I had the faith that it could happen. I had this, I don't know if we want to call it blind faith, but I had this faith that it could happen. So from doing that, little things happened. And I'm like, the littlest thing, like the appointment, the first appointment that they ever scheduled for me, I would not normally have to do this manually through calling the customer. And for the first time in my life, I got an email saying, Brian, I'm good for this quote Tuesday, 7 p.m. I'm like, holy crap. I didn't even do anything for that. And usually I'd have to call them. So that little win made me think, okay, maybe this is possible. Because part of my belief system was telling me this is impossible. But like I said, I had no choice but to believe them because I had struggling sales for over a decade and I had to listen to someone. So those little wins made made it happen. And then looking at obviously people like Kelsey and coaches like at the time, Mike Torgerson, they just gave me the faith that it could happen. So yeah, that's how I started.
I don't believe you're a shill for any one CRM. I know that you actually are trying to customize solutions for your company. And we've already had this discussion about you believe everybody's going to need something a little bit different. But I want to say that you have learned this beast of a CRM, Infusionsoft. I say beast not because it's just difficult, but it's just big. It's just really big, and there's a lot to learn. And you started with not knowing a whole lot about it at all, and not hardly even knowing what a CRM was. I think that's amazing because that's maybe where a lot of people are at. And even if they're with a different CRM, they might be facing the same struggle of knowing when it's time to explore something different because of all those same fears, you know, loss aversion. You don't want to lose what you have, so you just keep hammering what you're doing and hope something will change. Or you have the lack of information or ignorance in the best way, you know, where you don't know what's out there. You have a fear of technology, you know, not having the money for big change or being afraid of spending that money. It's all these things everybody's worried about to get to the next thing, but you did it. You did it with something like Infusionsoft. So much so, am I right in understanding that you actually spoke at one of their events at Infusionsoft's event, and you were helping people understand how to use it to better their business?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's called the Small Business Icon 2015. I spoke at their big user conference over 3,500 people. And yeah, I did, and I won the contest. So
really
happy about, and I'd never spoken before in public before.
Well, I saw that. I saw that video. I was like, that's great. And we looked at that and we're like, okay, this guy definitely knows about CRM. And like I said, the cool thing is you're trying to help people understand where they're at and what they need. And so the title of the presentation you're going to give at Expo is how to ask the right questions for yourself and your business to find out what CRM is right for you. So if you don't mind me asking, and let's just kind of brainstorm some of this. I know you're working on the presentation, but what are some of the questions that somebody can ask themselves to say, what are the needs of my company? What might be next for me? How do I know when I'm ready for a change? How do I gear up to get ready for that big change? What's some of the things that people need to be asking themselves?
Well, obviously, like, CRM's a big thing. So like, it's a big thing to try to think about it as a big thing, but think of it this way. Do I want freedom? Do I want to have more time? Do I want to be handcuffed to my business, answering every question from every customer? And if the question is, yes, I do want freedom, then you definitely need something like a CRM to help you build out your process and structure your business in a way so it is duplicatable and you can hand things, certain tasks, the ones you want to hand off to other employees or other team members, so you can run your business and you don't have to be handcuffed to every little process along the way.
What are some of the symptoms there that people can, almost like a checklist, say, is this happening? Is this happening? Is this happening? Okay, I'm ready for one, a CRM, or two, I'm ready for another CRM or a change of some sort. You know, what are some of those symptoms, specific symptoms?
Well, usually what happens in a business is you butt your head up against something and the same thing happens over and over and over again, and you can't figure out a way around it. Or you get involved in something and you're just doing something over and over again, and it's driving you nuts. And it's like, you're not getting much ROI from it. So this is when you got to start looking at solutions. And technology, in my view, is the answer to, I wouldn't say every solution, but it's the easy way to go. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, because you tried it without, didn't you?
I did it without for 22 years. And it can be done without, but it's really friggin' hard. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, and then you don't see the same kind of results. So what about when you're used in a CRM, how do you know when it's time to change? Let's talk about that one. Because it could be you need another one on top of the one you have to fulfill some other function, or it could be a different one altogether. How do you know when to call it quits on one? And you know, with Infusionsoft, you couldn't just give up. You had to keep learning it. You never would have got to where you are. Because it's such a big thing. But how do you know when you're like, you know what, I've kind of maximized this. I don't know if there's much more left in this one for me.
Yeah, usually when you're, like I said, when you're butting up your head up against the wall and you're not getting the results you need, it's kind of like if you look at a CRM, if you try to break it down to simply your sales pipeline. So, for example, a new lead comes in, you want a quote, then they want a quote. And then if they want a quote, then send them down this way. They don't want a quote, then send them that way. So you do it, if you try to break your sales process down, and if you find that at some point during that sales process, it's just not happening, and the system's either making it more confusing for you and not getting what you need done, or the actual, it is working for you, and you are getting ROI, and you are closing more leads, then obviously it's doing its job. And for us, for example, Infusionsoft's doing some great things, but then it's not doing some other things as well. Because for production management, it doesn't do anything for us. And in that way, it's really lacking. And we're losing a lot of, we're having a lot of gaps in our business because of it. A lot of inconsistencies, a lot of misinformation. And so when you know you're, like, for example, CRM's not going to do everything for you, but if you can, obviously you want to progress. But then when you're getting to a certain point where you're saying, okay, I've lost so many leads, or I've dropped the ball so many ways at this point. I need a better solution. And so what we've done is we've tried to duct tape things by getting other apps. I think we have like 6 or 7 different apps plugged into Infusionsoft at this point. And it's just it's not doing the job that I need production management wise. And also my metrics, I have like 3 or 4 different spreadsheets in terms of the metrics where it's all coming in. So because the way I'm measuring my business is so important in this, and that's what a CRM can do for you as well. It helps measure the numbers, ROI, where your marketing's come from, how much your closing ratios are, your revenue, your average job size, all these really important metrics. And when you have to go to so many different places to get the right numbers, it's not, you know what I'm saying? It's causing more hassle than it's worth.
Now, I know that, again, you've mentioned that you're working on a customized solution. Before we get to anything else, let me ask you to be very specific. You know, top three things that your company will do better with the right CRM solutions. What are the top three things, in your opinion, your company will start doing better with the right CRM solutions?
Got to make sales. If you're not making sales, then get rid of it. You're not doing the right thing, or you need a better solution. So number one, you got to start closing sales. Hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The other thing is it's capturing the leads. That's obviously an obvious one, but then it's increasing the closing ratio and saving you time there. So it's organizing the business so you can say, okay, there's 40 leads in bid provided. I got to start closing these leads or following up on these leads. Mm-hmm. And then the CRM can do that for you as well, but nothing beats a human voice. So your emails, your texts can help, but then obviously calling the customer can usually do the final thing for you. And making sure you're organized that way to help you close sales. The other thing we're using it for at this point, just because we have so many employees, and that is gross profit and net profit. So we're getting to the point where it's getting so complicated. We have so many employees that I'm losing control of my profitability. Hmm. So I think for a year to 2 years, we didn't lose money, definitely didn't lose money, but our net profit and gross profits were going down because there was a lot of slippage and a lot of inconsistencies and basically, I forget the word I was using. It was inefficient, very inefficient, our system. And so that was really important to keep on top of our gross profits and net profits. Because right now we have 3 sales reps and two field managers and 3 administrators. So you can lose a lot of net profit along the way. And if you're not measuring things right, you can really go lose control and potentially lose a lot of profit in your business.
Okay, if you don't mind, a few tips, just 2 or 3 tips on how to start using a CRM for your company. What makes that transition a little bit easier for you guys?
The first thing is, if you have a website, hopefully you do, you can capture the leads. Mm. And if you can capture the leads and keep them in one area, so you can follow up and then start going through those leads and deciding if you want to, the ones you want to keep and the ones you don't want to keep. So if you can somehow find a way to filter through, qualify through those leads by asking certain questions, and your CRM can do that just from your first opt-in. And we have a 2 opt-in, 3 opt-in process, actually, where you can ask a question like, what's your general budget? When do you need the job done? Questions like that. What's your first priority? Is it time? Is it quality? There's a problem? Like, for example, is there leaking somewhere? So you can decide which leads you want to go to first, because at some point, like, especially when you have a really strong marketing system, you're going to want to qualify through those leads and decide which ones you want to spend the most amount of time on. So that's the first thing, okay, is qualifying the leads. And then the second thing would be following up properly. So when you are doing the sales in that, that you have them organized well, so you know which ones to follow up and which ones are hottest leads and which ones are the weak leads. So you can kind of like filter through those ones that way. Mm. Then of course, once you've booked the lead, I would say making sure you can fill on it properly, and then you keep that organized in terms of making sure that they're in the right stages and that you're following up appropriately, making sure the colors are there, making sure their start dates are appropriate, and then making sure the production team has, or if you're the only production person, making sure you know when jobs should be starting and finishing. And so their customers, all the data from the customer that the customer is telling you, that should be locked into your CRM. So it's keeping you organized. So you don't have to be thinking about like, what's this customer thinking? It should all be basically on a template for you.
Now, getting your team there to be able to handle all of this and to work together, is that a big challenge?
It is a big challenge. It's something you need to train them on, obviously. And it's something that you're going to have to change yourself, because as a business owner, I basically did everything myself at first. And that obviously worked for me. But when you have other team members, there has to be a concise system that works for them and that can, you know, work for pretty much anyone that basically says, has the information so that pretty much anyone can read the information and decipher and do based on the information that the client gives you.
Hmm. Okay, you know, and we were talking about CRMs, and we've really tried to focus on this because you had, I think, several things in place to help you grow as a business and a lot of changes that happened. So we just took that CRM thing, and we have a lot of people asking about CRMs all the time. We also have sponsors who have CRMs and who have estimating programs, and we stand behind a lot of those. Not any one thing does everything. And you've told me you've had experience with a lot of different CRMs. So I just think there's a lot of appreciation for what you're going to be talking about. But I don't want to miss either, and this is some of the benefit of you telling the more broad story of your business growth. I don't want to miss some of the other things that took place in your business that helped you guys grow. Really quickly, do you mind me asking, like, what were some other keys to your growth along with that new CRM?
Besides the CRM, obviously, you need a website on top of that. Your online reputation has to be near impeccable. And the reason why is because people, in my view, consumers are getting really, really, really smart. Mm. So they're going online and they're checking this, checking that. And they're doing a lot of research before they just pick a painter. They're no longer, at least in Canada, they're no longer just picking up a flyer and calling people. So you got to change your philosophy, in my view, in terms of your business. So we give up a lot of money and a lot of effort just to make sure our online reputation is really, really strong. And like I call it a slush fund, whatever you want to call it, or a give back fund, just to make sure the client's happy. And unfortunately, some clients use it against you, but that's just the way it works. I mean, that's the price of being in business. But if you look at it this way, if I give, let's just say, 1% or 2% of your sales to, let's say, online reputation, and in other words, customers that just take advantage of you, then that's okay. Because if I'm making whatever the amount is, let's just say $1 million in sales, and I'm making 40 to 50% gross profit, and I'm netting 15 to 20 from that, or even as low as 10, I mean, in the grand scheme of life, that's the price of doing business. And that's the way the business is going. And in my market, and you have to be on top of that like there's no tomorrow, because that's what customers are judging you on. And it's not a right or wrong situation. A lot of time with clients, it's like what's going to do best for your business. So you got to think of your business that way in terms of online reputation. Hmm. In my view, that's huge. One of the things I would really implore upon any painter that's out there that really wants to take the plunge, but they're a little bit scared, is you don't have to do it all alone. And take baby steps. You don't, like I said, you don't have to kill it all at once. Have a little bit of faith that if you learn a little bit each day, each week, each month, that it can happen. And I didn't start off like with a 12-stage pipeline, which is what I have now. I started off with 4. Started with new lead, appointment set, book the lead, and then fulfill on it. Mm. Four stages, that was it. And then eventually I realized once I got into things, I'm losing too many leads in this area. I'm not getting to enough appointments. So I need to create another stage for this so I can follow up properly on it. So like I said, start simple. And then of course it'll happen. If you can imagine, I had a hard time delegating my business at all because I was such a control freak. And I felt I was the best at everything and I didn't want anyone to screw anything up. Mm. So the smallest thing my coach did was he said, okay, Brian, I know no one is as good as you, but can someone do something? Can someone do something? And then I said, well, and then we broke down my day. He said, what are you doing? Okay, I'm going doing this, I'm doing this. And then I was spending 2 hours at the paint store matching colors. Mm. I said, Brian, is that really a good use of your time? I said, probably not. But I'm so picky about my colors. I don't want to screw up a color and then have a customer make me repaint their whole house again. And they said, okay, well, let's see if we can delegate part of that. So basically what I did was I hired a high school student, paid him $14 an hour, which was basically minimum wage for Canada, and saved me 2 hours a day. Wow. And eventually what happened was they did it better than me because they could spend their whole day making sure colors were perfect.
Right.
They weren't rushing through it and saying, okay, no. And anyway, so long story short, I started delegating parts of my business that way. And the same thing with the CRM. You can start really, really simple and then just build it out slowly. And if anything's better than nothing. So start small and then just have the faith that eventually you can build this thing out. And of course, the better way to do it, if you ask me, is to get someone that's, you know, that's experienced like this, like the Estimate Rockets or the PEP, or someone that has a CRM that have been doing it for who knows how long, and that can kind of save you that time.
I love that. I heard something recently. It was somebody was saying that whatever you can do or think you can do, even if you just you think like there might be a chance I could do that, go for it, because that boldness and that audacity to just try, they said it has genius, power, and magic in it. And I get it. I get the genius of initiative. And there's power in just jumping at it and just going. There's some extra energy that's available for us there when we just try. But that magic part, and I think that magic is speaking to, you know, I don't know why it works. I don't know why when you try something, it's the beginner's luck, right? But it's not real luck. There's something really, I think your attention and your awareness is open to a superlative degree. I don't think we realize that that's what's going on. Go ahead.
With all the information out there nowadays, people get in their head and they're scared to make a risk, and they're scared to try something. So that's the worst thing to do. So it's almost like stop listening and just try something. And usually what happens is you either, obviously you'll get something right or wrong. And if it's wrong, okay, try another thing. But once you're in the motion, you start realizing, okay, well, I'm further because at least I didn't know that. So even with the CRM, like I said, if you just get started and think of it, okay, I'm going to keep it really damn simple. Just capture the lead, set up the appointment, go to it, and I'll try to book it. Keep it as simple as that. And then from there, I guarantee I've seen this happen with people that are just as tech dumb as I was. They can basically turn this thing into something that's more theirs, and they can find different ways of making it theirs and then kind of tailoring it to their process, because everyone's sales process is a little bit different.
I feel like there are so many lessons that we can mine from your experience and from your story. So I think people are going to really get excited about talking with you and hearing your story and hearing you talk about CRMs. Brian, if people want to contact you to find out more, to ask you questions before the expo or after, how can they get a hold of you?
Sure. Email me at owner, O-W-N-E-R, at homepainterstoronto.com. I'd love to answer any questions or help anyone that needs some guidance on CRMs or anything to do with the business for that matter.
Brian, thank you so much for being on Paint Ed. We're looking forward to seeing you at the expo.
Thanks for having me.
Paint Ed podcasts are a product of the Painting Contractors Association. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PDCA and getting access to advanced resources for your business, visit pdca.org. We'll see you next time.
I ticked off a client because I interrupted his dinner. He shoved me and punched me in the face.
What?
And yeah.
Did he? He punched you in the face.
He gave me a shot in the head, and I was like,
oh my gosh.
I was really, it didn't hurt that much because I'm a hockey player and I can take it. But,
but it hurts your heart. It hurts my heart. Listen, like, what? Why would somebody do that?